Or hear the sefer before? Okay, the sefer Yosher Divrei Amos. It says here on the title page, it was written by Rav Meshulam Faivish Halevi Mizabriza. So how are you going to spell that? Okay, so you'll figure it out. Zayin Bez Aleph Resh Yud Zayin Aleph Zabriza. It's a very early work of Chassidus. And there's a couple of reasons why I picked the sefer for this year. One is, with Mashpia not being here, I felt that we needed to do something which was particularly strong to make sure that the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov continues to resound in the hallways of Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan. And it's a very fiery sefer. It's a very, very intense sefer. And it was written in a time where Chassidus was still trying to establish itself. Again, you may not be so familiar with this tzaddik from Zabriza, but he was a Talmud of the Magid of Mezrich. Just to give you the dates of his life, he lived from 1740 to 1794. So just to give us a little context, when did the Baal Shem Tov live? Everything's like slightly debated, but usually we assume 1698 to 1760. Let's use those dates. Okay, give or take a little bit. 1760 for sure is the Stalkus of the Baal Shem Tov. First of all, tonight is Chai Elul, which is the birthday of the Baal Shem Tov. So it's a fitting time for the study of the early work of Chassidus. So the Baal Shem Tov left this world in 1760. So this Tzaddik was born, the Yosher Divrei Amos was born in 1740. So he was 20 years old. Okay, just try to like put yourself in his shoes for a second, for those of you who are closer to 20. Right? He was about 20 years old when the Baal Shem Tov passed away. He never met the Baal Shem Tov, never had a face-to-face encounter with the Baal Shem Tov, as he'll tell us. But he had learned by the Magid. He had this chus to learn by the Magid of Mizrich. He also learned Chassidus. He says, I have three main Rebbeim in Chassidus. You'll see who he introduces us to. His primary Rebbe was the Magid of Zlotchev, Rav Yechiel Michal of Zlotchev, or Michal Zlotchever, as he's usually referred to. And the Sefer was really written to, it seems like a relative or a friend who asked him, tell me what this is about. Because you're getting into this whole Chassidus thing, and I want to understand what it's about, and I want to hear more about the tzaddikim that you've met, and I want to know what it is that you're attracted to. And he's really writing almost the defense of Chassidus, and trying to defend some of the principles that have changed his life. That's what he's writing, as a relatively young person. He wrote the Sefer when he was about 37 years old. Okay, so again, just to give you perspective, he was born around 1740, Baal Shem Tov passed away 1760, and you can see on the first page in front of you that this first kuntras that he wrote was on Yom Gimel, Yud Tes Sivan, Tav Kuf Lamed Zayin, that's 1777. So he's about my age. I'm 37. That's when he started writing this kuntras. And he's writing to someone who is trying to explain what he and his brother-in-law, Rabbi Yoel, I don't know who he is, he mentions him, have gotten involved with. Okay? Now, I don't want to get bogged down in the words. I don't want to get stuck because there's too many important points to be caught up in every word. So we're not going to read every word. I'm not going to translate every word. And I'm going to try to cover some ground so that we can really try to learn through the whole kuntras and the whole sefer over the course of the year. I don't know if that's possible. We'll have to see. Okay, so we're going to be skipping a little bit, but hopefully seeing much of the sefer. Yeah, please,
bechavod. Will this be like different than Rebbe style, like usually like we did like the other years, like just like a piece? And
yeah, no, we're gonna go straight. We're gonna go straight. There's gonna be very little that I'm gonna try to bring from the outside, and try to really just immerse ourselves in his words. Okay. So let's see. Okay, he says I'm writing from Zabriza in 1777, and here's what he writes. Ani kosev laman avas amisi v'rei, asher me'odi gedalti imo b'toras Hashem v'yirasol lefi kat zichlenu. I'm writing on behalf of my friend, who I've grown up with, and we've learned Torah together. You guys grab chairs. Want to grab chairs? Good to see you. Grab a chair from the basement. There should be chairs. As long as no one's sitting in it, you can take it. So he says, we've grown up together in Torah and Yiras Hashem, according to our understanding. V'gava tura beinenu. And the mountain has grown between us. I think that's what he says. I think that's what it means. I think, again, I don't 100% know, but it sounds like he's writing to someone who's not really sure what's this whole new Chassidus thing that you're getting caught up in. Uve'eis hi pardime ito. And when we parted ways, bikesh mimeni lahalos lo alaksav yosher divrei emes ve'emuna. That's where the title comes from. He has requested of me to put into writing words that are honest and truthful. Hanishma mipi maskile hador. Things that I've heard and learned from the intellectual giants of the generation. Anche mofes bale ruach hakodesh. Tell me about these tzaddikim that you're hanging out with, that you're learning from. What are they teaching you? Why are you so attached to them? What was wrong with Torah until now, that all of a sudden now you have this whole new mahalach? Asher einai ra'u v'lo zar. He said, I'm writing from what I saw with my own eyes. Tzaddikim who I've seen with my own eyes. It's become so much clearer to me, and I'm not nearly connected to as many tzaddikim as I should be. It's become so clear to me how important it is for a Jew to be connected to tzaddikim, real tzaddikim, real tzaddikim. I've had the schus to be by the Tuchina Rebbe a couple of times, and just being in the presence of a real tzaddik who has real pnimiyas haTorah to share chidushim and depth and etza and kedusha, and to watch the way that he dances by Simchas Beis Shoeva. You see real tzaddikim, and it's like really there's no backseats. Like you can't, there's nothing that any like professor could ever say. You could ask like the starkest question based on an archaeological find on the Torah. Like see kedusha, see tzaddikim. That's what he's writing here. He says, I'm telling you what I saw with my own eyes. Kemalach Elokim pachdam v'yirasam. I saw holy people. And he's going to tell us who he's talking about. V'kula mimayan echad shasu. And they all drank from the same source of water. Where's the source of water that he's referring to? Halo hu ha'aloki Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. Zichrono levracha lechai olam haba. All the tzaddikim I met were transformed by the same derech that was brought to the world, that was revealed to the world through the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, whose birthday is tonight. Va'ani lo zachisi rak liros p'nei talmido pe'aloki. He says, I was never zochet to see the Baal Shem Tov face to face, but I saw his students. Amongst them, Rav Dov Ber, the Maggid of Mezrich. The Maggid of Mezrich was not alive when he's writing this anymore. Maggid of Mezrich passed away, let's say, around 1772. Okay, so he's writing this, he's 37 years old when the Yosher Divrei Emes is being written, and the Maggid had passed away already 5 years ago. But he had met the Maggid. He had been in the presence of the Maggid. Ve'echod ze bo'u elai kisvei kodesh midivrei kodesho. Ve'achar ze bo'u elai kisvei kodesh midivrei kodesho. I met the Maggid, I read his holy writings, they've come my way. Hamalchivim leiv hacharedim lavodas Hashem Yisbarach be'emes, which ignite the heart on fire to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in truth. Va'af kama pa'amim hayisi lifnei ha'isha lagadol ha'loki. And there was another tzaddik who I met, who was zochet to meet, from Menachem Mendel of Premishlan, who also passed away around the year 1770. So he's also no longer alive when he's writing this kuntras. Zichrono l'chai olam haba. And to distinguish between those who are no longer with us and my Rebbe who's still alive, who had lived for close to another 10 years from the time that he wrote this kuntras, the main person who he drew chassidus from, he's about to tell us, the Halagor of Michal Zlotchever, Rav Yechiel Michal of Zlotchev, the Maggid of Zlotchev. Passed away in 1786. Okay, so he's my main Rebbe, but I saw all of these tzaddikim, Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. I never saw the Baal Shem Tov, but I saw Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. Now look what he writes here. Just so you understand, he's still in the fight. Chassidus is still trying to emerge and to be respected the way that Baruch Hashem it's come to be by most of Klal Yisrael today. There's still some holdouts, but most people understand that this is the Torah of Mashiach, this is the Torah of the future. He says, Rahman al-Itslan, there are people in our generation who mock, who ridicule, who don't respect these true tzaddikim. In the times of the Arizal, there were those who said, what is this new Kabbalah? New Kabbalah. Kabbalah is the oldest wisdom of all. But people scoffed and people laughed. People who were outsiders didn't know what some of this new language was. We never had this language in Torah before. It was never revealing itself in the world before. So the people who are mezalzel. Kamo shekosav Rav Chaim Vital. As Rav Chaim Vital writes in the Shara HaKdamos, the people were mezalzel in the Ari HaKadosh. Can you imagine? Today, we have Ari HaKadosh. sends a shiver down your spine. You think about who, maybe think about who the Ari might have been, and what it would be like to meet the Arizal, to meet the Ari HaKadosh. But there was a time where people said, who are these rabbis? What are they doing? Va'ani me'odi nidbak libi be'amunas l'chal me'ela. He says, I already, from a younger age, attached myself and believed in these tzaddikim. V'chaveri v'amisi halohu gisi harabani morenu Yoel, my brother-in-law, Rav Yoel, I don't know who that is, also was drawn to this. Nidbak libo gamkein be'amunasam, he also believes in these tzaddikim. Ashrei mi shedavak be'amunasam uvedivrayam. Praiseworthy is one who clings to their words, who believes in them, who believes in the way that they're teaching Torah. Oy lahem l'resham sheparku ol Torah v'yuras Hashem yizbarach me'aleim. Woe to those who have cast off the yoke of Torah and Yiras Shamayim. Umarim atzam tzadikim. And they present themselves as the true tzadikim. There's no bittul to what the Yosha Devei Emes is calling the true tzadik emes. And you're going to see it's a fiery sefer. There's some very harsh lashonos in the sefer. It's also very gentle and sweet lashonos. But he writes, he speaks his mind. He's writing, he's defending Chassidus. In its early years, 17 years after the Baal Shem Tov's Petira. So there are individuals who are Rishayim, who present themselves as Sadikim, umal'ivim b'malachei elokim b'shkarim uchzavim shabodim ilibam, and they make up all sorts of lies and mockery, making fun of these true Sadikim, who I've seen with my own eyes, people I could tell you are Kedoshim and Sadikim. V'nafshi yodas ma'od risham v'ra'asam. And says the Yosha Devei Emes about some of these people, I know that even though they go like tzaddikim and they wear long coats and and hats, right? But I know things about them in their private life. Ki rav mehem bali aveira b'niyuf. I know some of them have all sorts of sexually perverse behavior. Niyuf means adultery. I know that some of them are phonies, rachmana litzlan, mehem bali gaiva v'kina. These are people who are unrefined people with haughtiness and jealousy. Asher mikinasam nosnim pagam umum b'kadashim. And because of their jealousy of the true tzaddikim, so the easiest thing to do is to spread rumors about them, as they did about the Baal Shem Tov, and they did about the Magen, and they did about the Baal Tanya, and they do about all the tzaddikim. Right? With Sheker, v'chazav, u'kfar nibu nevi'a ha'emes aleim, and this has already been predicted, that at the end of days there's going to be a lack of respect for the true tzaddikim emes, she'akein b'dor ha'achron, this is how it's going to be, as the Navi Yeshaya says, v'tihi ha'emes ne'ederes, the truth will be concealed. Now, Baruch Hashem, as we get closer and closer, for us, whether you consider yourself a chassid or not a chassid, whether you're chassidish or not chassidish, regardless of how you grew up and what kind of community you grew up in, there's this unbelievable overflowing ma'ayan, as predicted by Mashiach himself in the famous encounter with the Baal Shem Tov, right, that the ma'ayanos are going to be yotzei achutza, they're going to spread outwards. And we see it. So it's easier for us to find people who are like-minded. But you have to understand, in his time, he was still fighting the fight. There were people who were killing each other over this. Literally, Jews killing Jews over this. It sounds like an exaggerated thing to say, but it was really true. There was mamish fist fights and really bad stuff going on. Vatihia emes nederes, says the Navi about the end of days, that truth is going to be concealed. Hoy omlim l'rat tov l'tov ra. Some people are going to see the world so backwards that what's good is going to be called evil, and what's evil is going to be praised as if it's a holy thing. Or as the Mishnah says in Sota, Be'ikvos Mashicha, in the footsteps of Mashiach, in the ikvos of the Mashicha, Chutzpah Yaske. Chutzpah is going to increase. And it comes in many forms. It comes in people just speaking their mind, and not about tzaddikim, but all the more so being able to comment on every tzaddik. That I could put up a blog post and say whatever I want about people who I've never met and big tzaddikim on the other side of the world, and hide behind my my internet persona to say whatever I want about whoever I want. It's a chutzpah. Yeh lehem asher lehem v'anachtu nafshenu hitzanu. What will be with them will be with them, but we, Baruch Hashem, we've made it, we've been saved from this illness. We found the truth. That's what he's saying. We found the truth. It's a big thing. It's a chashuv thing to really think about. When I was in Hask this summer, on a Thursday night, I was supposed to give a shiur, and then I stuck around to hear Rav Judah Michel's shiur after. And he was learning letters from Rabbi Nassan. And he was emphasizing, on that particular night that I was there, he was emphasizing how fortunate we are not to be misnagdim. And I'm not using the way Rav Judah was using it, not just misnagdim in the sense, not just misnagdim in the sense of chassidim versus misnagdim. There are some people who just have a netiyah to be against things. Someone tries to do something holy, if it's not exactly their thing, they're against it. Rav Judah told this story. He said, when Balfour was being built, he said there's a prominent Rav in Eretz Yisrael who was trying to get a big letter-writing campaign because he was concerned that Balfour was going to be bigger than the Beis Medrash, taller than the Beis Medrash. Now, there's a Gemara like that. There's a Gemara that says that if there are homes that are built bigger than shuls, the community is going to be destroyed. There is such a mahalik and halachin. Right? So he had like this big campaign to try to like, don't build, nothing can be bigger than, there was no Gluff building at the time. Right? Nothing can be bigger than the Beis Medrash. You can't just build this monstrosity, it's going to overshadow the Beis Medrash, it's inappropriate. And he was rallying signatures. So he came to Rav Soloveitchik, came to the Rav, to get his support. And the Rav said, like, instead of making a campaign like against something, why don't you make a campaign for something? Don't be a misnagid. Right? Why do you have to be against things? Find something to be passionate for. Why do you have to be passionate against someone else, you know, doing something? Now, this person thought he was doing a davar shebe kedusha. Right? But there's a spirit sometimes that captures people of just being against things. And Rav Judah was emphasizing, and it's so true. If you're open to a Jew serving Hashem in a way that's different than your own, then ashracha, then you're not a misnagid, you're not against people, you know, doing things a little bit differently. And that's a chashuv thing. It's like a very chashuv thing. So I sent Rav Judah a voice note the next morning. I said, Baruch ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shelo Asani Misnagid. You know, that should be one of our brachas in the morning. If you're not an against-nik, as he kept calling it, that's a good thing. And there's people, he says, that are just, they're just against everything. They're not open to recognize that the times have changed, and there's a new derech in Torah that has to emerge, and it's all part of the original plan of creation. For those who understand and learn the Svar Makadoshim, uve'emis amru Chazal ki bedor hazeh ein tochacha. Chazal have already predicted that a time will come when people will not hear rebuke. People are so stubborn; they're so against things; they'll never change. Now, I can say in my own life, I've met people who were once very against this type of Torah and now have warmed up to it quite a bit. And there are some people who still say, no, what is this, you know, fluffy chassidish, why are you always singing and dancing? First of all, not always singing and dancing. Sometimes we also learn Bava Kama, right? But what are you against? That a Jew should smile? That a Jew should feel something? That a Jew should want to be a Jew? I don't know, But Chazal predicted there's some people who are just not open to hearing. And therefore, a person can only rebuke himself. Maybe a close friend. You could try to influence someone who you could speak to in a loving way. I'm not trying to change you because I want. I'm trying to introduce you to something that's so real to me. Shabbat migavos halev. Now this is going to be his first main theme. Gaiva. You know what stops people from being open to these tzaddikim? Gaiva. Who are these? Who are these tzaddikim? Who are they? I'm a bigger Talmud Chacham than these tzaddikim. I know more Torah than these tzaddikim. So first of all, you've never met these tzaddikim. You've never humbled yourself before these tzaddikim. Right? It's not only about who has the most Torah facts in their head. Maybe that's not what it's all about. Who says that that's what it's all about? Who says the competition? Who can collect the most Torah facts? Who's to say that's the only indicator? The Gemara says in Yoma that if Torah is absorbed in an improper way, it's poison. So maybe you're a Rasha. Just because you have a lot of Torah, you can quote a lot of Maamar Komos, doesn't mean you're a Tzaddik. Maybe these Tzaddik Emes have given their whole lives over to Klal Yisrael. Right? And maybe your Gaiva is stopping you from seeing that truth. And that's what he emphasizes here. Now he's paraphrasing Gemara in Shabbos, where the Gemara says, if all of the seas were ink, and every reed, every blade of grass was a quill, was a reed to write, you couldn't record the chalala shal rishus. Now the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara, what's a chalal? A void, right? The void or the empty space of rishus of the government authority. There's so much in between the lines, right? Like, I mean, if Trump wants to get away with something, there's a lot of wiggle room for people in authoritative positions. You could try to write down all the rules, but they'll still find, you know, there's people who have certain protexia based on their authority. But the way he's explaining it here, the way he's using this Maimar Chazal, this halal, the void, the undefined territories of governance, Kamosha Amru Chazal, Uledati Ramzu Legavus Halev. He says a person who feels that he's bigger than someone else will always find an excuse. That's what it means. Will always find a way to say, yeah, but he, and not be open to hearing. And unfortunately, we've met people like that. People who just don't want to learn. Shenota adam limloch al misha tachta v'madrega. I'm on a higher level than you, so you have nothing to teach me. Just because you know more than me about a certain area of Torah doesn't mean I have nothing to teach you. Ezu chacham halom mikol adam. Where's your humility? A truly wise person learns from everyone. So have some humility. So this person's a little bit different. You're not familiar with this. Be open to it. And he says again, what the Gemara is saying here, if we were to write forever, the gaiva of the world is just endless. The haughtiness of the world is just endless. There's so much gaiva in the world. And that's why he quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that Anava Gedola Mikulan, that Anava is the biggest, in a certain sense, Anava is the highest level of spiritual attainment. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Jew, and how is he referred to in the Torah? What do we say about the smartest, the greatest Jew? He was smarter than Shlomo HaMelech. Moshe knew things, according to Chazal, that Shlomo HaMelech didn't know. Shlomo HaMelech's wisdom, it's unbelievable. The Ramban Sakdama Techumish, he talks about how Shlomo knew everything. Torah Umad, he knew it all. And Moshe Rabbeinu was on a higher level. And what does the Torah say about Moshe? He's smart. What does it say about Moshe? He's a genius, he's a gon. What does it say? He's an anav. He's an anav. A truly big person is a humble person. Who understands I want to be mavata myself to something bigger than myself. The Torah of Baal Shem Tov is a much deeper and bigger Torah. The Torah of the Arizal is a much deeper and bigger Torah. What is this Kabbalah stuff? It's not for us. That's gaiva. There's a certain gaiva, an inability to admit that there's a whole world of Torah you know nothing about. And to approach it with humility. Kabbalah means not to take, to receive. To be a makaba. It takes humility. It takes a lot of humility. Okay, I'm going to skip the end of Os Aleph. I'll just tell you what he says. He quotes from his Rebbe. He says, my Rebbe told me this past Shavuos. He says, the Yetzihara sometimes has a trick that he likes to use against us. He said, my Rebbe told me, Anava is not really a mitzvah per se. It's not one of the 613. Although there is, the smag actually counts it as one of the mitzvahs. Not to be a Baal Gaiv is actually one of the 613 according to some Rishonim. Right, but he says, being humble is not really a mitzvah, but the Yetzer Hara likes to make it into a mitzvah. So you know what the Yetzer Hara does? A person builds himself up. He thinks he's a big shot. I know how to learn. I know how to daven. I've worked on my midos. Shmir HaSeinayim. I'm a big tzaddik now. Right? And then he says to himself, but there's a mitzvah to be humble. So now he starts going around and he's pretending he's such a humble guy. Right? And so he said, my Rebbe told me, there's people who are walking around who think that they're like they're trying to reflect this awesome humility, and it's cool or gaiva. The whole thing is gaiva. But there's a mitzvah to be humble, so I have to mekayim the mitzvah, even though I know I'm a big person, but I'm going to carry myself like a humble person. He says it's purely a trick of the Yetzirah. There's so much gaiva in the world. And the gaiva stopping people, this is his opening presentation, the gaiva stopping people from being mekabel the emes, of the tzaddikei emes of the generation. And he says it's painful to watch. It's a painful thing for a person to watch. Okay? Let's hear a comment and then, yeah, we'll go on to a space.
Even if it's not, you know, a mitzvah or the Yisrael is trying to make it seem into a mitzvah, why is that necessarily a bad thing to do? Going around with your head down?
Because it's all chitzonius. It's, you don't actually believe that. Right? A person who's actually humble is not thinking about, there's a beautiful Kedushas Levi for this time of the year. And when we say that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zocher Es HaNishkachus, Hashem remembers the things that are forgotten. So the typical way of understanding that, Hashem remembers things that are forgotten, means that what? Like, you forgot about the Aveira you did 6 months ago, but God didn't forget, and you're in trouble. God's coming around, and He's going to get you, you know? That's like the typical scary Yom HaDin, you forgot about that Aveira. Right? At the time, you felt really bad about it, but by now, you got over it, God didn't get over it yet. That's the Pashup Shot. Hashem is Zocher Senishkachos. Don't think you're, just because you forgot, doesn't mean like you're going to get away with it. The Kedushas Levi says a much deeper pshat, a beautiful pshat. Kedushas Levi says, Zochas and Ishkachos means the things that you forget, Hashem remembers. Let's talk about a mitzvah. If you walk around saying all the, oh yeah, remember that mitzvah I did, remember that mitzvah I did, you're walking around with it, you're carrying it around as a badge of honor, as if you're some big shot. Instead of being humbled, I forgot about the mitzvah. I'm not thinking about that mitzvah. I'm not so focused. Real tzaddikim don't talk about madrigos. It's an interesting thing. I'm trying to remember where I heard this recently. I heard this from a tzaddik recently. That real tzaddikim don't talk about madrigos. When a person says, you know, oh, I know where I heard it from. I heard this from Shmuel Braun. When a person is thinking all the time about their madriga, I want to be on a higher madriga, I'm not on a high enough madriga, you're just thinking about yourself. It's like, it's all kaiva. It's like, it's, you know, I want to just climb the ranks. I want to have a higher score in like the power rankings of Jews, you know? I want to be in the top 50 Jews. So someone will write a nice article about me and how I've grown so much. Who cares? Just forget, just do mitzvahs. Learn Torah. Don't think about it so much. So if you forget about it, then Hashem remembers it. But if you're remembering it, if you're living it, ah, look at me, then Hashem forgets it. That's not it. This guy, you're serving yourself. You're not serving me. Right? That's what it means. Hashem remembers that which is forgotten and forgets, so to speak, that which is remembered. Right? It means that if you know, you try to remember, you try to hold on to it, you walk around with this gaiva, it's a pasuk. David Melech says, Hashem malach geus lavesh. There's only one person who walks around in a garment of gaiva, of geut, of pride. God's the only one who has the right to be proud. Now, you're going to see, this is a Musar Sefer. So for people who like, you know, getting beat up, I happen to like teaching Svarim that are machazik, more than beat people up. But a cook like Svarim that beat people up. But it's also, it's good. It's good sometimes to put ourselves in our place. And that's the Yoshua Devarim is going to put us in our place. You have to be a healthy person. If you're not a psychologically, emotionally healthy person, you may decide the Sefer is not for you. And that's fine. That's totally fine. It's a heavy Sefer. But he's going to put us in our place and say, stop being such a, what are you, Baal Gaiva? The Shana Bet guy, like, you know, guiding the Shana Aleph guy as if you're Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't know anything. You're both babies. You literally both know nothing. And your Rebbe is 10 years older than you, also doesn't really know anything. Even though, like, he's this big Chashuv, you know, does the Rebbe mind if I... Rebbe's like 10 years older than you. Went to the same high school as you. Like, relax. No, I'm serious. Like, you have to know there's tzaddik emes in the world. And when you spend time with them, you start to realize, there's a lot of work for me to do. And again, that's supposed to make you feel bad. It's supposed to inspire you. I don't know how to daven yet. I have to learn how to daven. I have to learn how to learn. I have to learn how to really control my midos and to control my taivos. And there's a lot of gaiva, and if we're not self-aware, and that's what he's going to try to help us to realize, we're born with a netiya towards gaiva, and we have to work on breaking that. Yeah, Donna.
So where does the desire to improve yourself come from, if not from, or like, isn't there a part of the desire to become better that is, you know?
Right, there's a Gemara that says, kinas sofrim tar b'chachma, that when I'm jealous of someone else's madrigos, that, you know, pushes me. So you're right, the desire to grow has to somehow, and there is something called Torah lo lishma, right? Torah lo lishma, ba lishma. There's such a concept. But we have to see. We have to really see what that means. And where is that line? At what point am I literally serving myself and just trying to amass honor amongst those who give honor to Torah? The people in the world who think either way you're irrelevant. Because you learn an ancient text. You're reading a legal book from 1800 years ago, 1600 years ago. So there's a lot of people in the world who think we're wasting our time. Right? But amongst the chevra of the Beis Medrash, you know, who give honor to those who have more Torah, right, you're right. There is a place for some small degree of healthy competition in the Beis Medrash, but it very quickly becomes avodah zarah. And gaiva is deeply connected to avodah zarah. In the most simple sense, you're serving yourself. It's not about God. It's about being authoritative over your friend. It's halal l'shal rishus. It's finding another pocket where I can dominate someone else. A void where I can still, you know, set up shop and be the king in that place. Without a bittul to the tzaddikei emes or the true kings or melech malchei melachim. So that's, you know.
Where's the drive from then?
So we are created with this drive. Well, we'll have to see a little bit more. It's a good question. I mean, where does the desire to grow and to... It's a good question. It's a good question. Yes.
It's so Mordechai. Is like the balance kind of like like when you look at it comparatively, like me versus the other guy in the basement, which is probably unhealthy.
If you're thinking too much about the other guy, it's not healthy. If you're thinking too much about yourself, what I'm saying is it's not healthy.
So
right?
Where's,
meaning,
like, where's the balance?
That's what the Berditcher is saying.
Proud of where you're, like, Rav Dovah likes to always say, may
Jerusalem. Sameach b'chelko means also being sameach with your...
Exactly.
With your successes.
Of, like,
right. So there's a healthy way to feel good about, you know, everything we learned in Kedushas Levi last year. Every time you give Tanug to Hashem, and Hashem gets great pleasure from you, and how much you matter, and that those Torahs are also all true. Again, they're not mutually exclusive. This Sefer is gonna hit us hard, and then you need the Berditcher to shirk your cheek and say, you're tzaddik, you're doing great. Right? But like, also, don't be a Baal Gaiva. And don't talk down in a patronizing way to someone who's, you know, a couple months behind you in your learning. Kiilu, you're the God of the door. It has no place. And when you see Tzadik Emes, like I saw, he says, it becomes Pashtun.
It's like an intellectual honesty thing.
Yeah.
Makir's Makoma.
Yeah, Makir's Makoma, right? Know your place. It's one of the Kinyanim of Torah, that's right. Know your place in the world. Okay? Now, Oz Beis, he begins in this first paragraph. If you see, I'm not using the same edition as everyone here. So, turn the page. Let's turn the page to Oz Beis. Okay, top of page Samach Zayin in the handout. Just go to the end of that first paragraph where he quotes the Gemara, where it says Arba Mine Geyim Nivru Ba'Olam. There are four types of Gaivadik beings in the world or creatures in the world. Va'Adam Mizgae Al Kulam. Man is the most gaivadik of all. There are animals in the animal kingdom which are also haughty, which are also full of themselves, which also carry themselves with a certain pride, right? But of the many types of gaiva in the world, of haughtiness in the world, man has the tendency to be the most haughty. Despite the fact that man is so limited and so weak, and in less than 100 years from now, none of us are going to be alive. We're very limited. Adam Yisodu me'afar v'sofa l'afar. Like, so what? So you have a couple $1 million in the bank. So now, so the rest of your life, you walk around as if what? You're better than everyone? Because you made a little money? Because you learned a little Torah? So man, right? Adam is one of the Arba Avos Nezikin, as we're going to learn in Bava Kama. Man can do a lot of damage in the world. How did this come to be? Why don't we realize it? Why don't more people realize that we're so full of ourselves? So he writes in the second paragraph, Hashem Yisbarach Hizmin Li Mashal Emes Al Zeh. Hashem gave me a mashal to prove this point. Ki al derech mashal. Adam b'derech ba'av. He's sitting in a wagon, and he falls asleep. He's in a caravan, and he falls asleep. V'nosei imo bala gala al har echad gavah. And imagine, he falls asleep just as the wagon driver is ascending a very sharp incline. So the guy slept through the whole way up the mountain. Okay? So now he's at the top of the mountain where it levels out a little bit and he's traveling along straight. He's already ascended the incline and the slant. So now this guy wakes up. Right? He wakes up. And it looks like still just trekking along. And they say to him, you're on a mountain. You're high up in the sky. What? It's flat. It's straight. No change from when I fell asleep. Ain't no mom. He hardly believes it. You know why? Because he slept through the whole ascent. I don't see. Why do you think we're on a mountain? He's straight for miles. Because he's straight. He doesn't realize he ascended one side of the mountain. Now he's traveling across the top of the mountain. When is he going to realize he's on a mountain? When he descends. When he finally starts to make his way down, all of a sudden he realizes, whoa, I never realized I was on a mountain. Because had he seen the incline when it first happened, yada, he would know full well that he's on a mountain. But now he's on the flatland. So he says, who says we're on a mountain? Where'd you get the idea that I'm on a mountain? When does it become known to him? When he descends on the other side, how you read this, minahar labika, when he descends down to the valley on the other side, then he realizes, wow, I never realized I was on a mountain. Says the Ocean of the River MS, that's what Gaiva is. Sometimes a person's so gaivadik and he's so unaware until he's forced to descend a little bit. He comes in the presence of a real mountain. Or he actually tries be'emes to make a cheshvan nefesh, and he humbles himself a little bit. And he becomes more self-aware, and all of a sudden he realizes, oh my gosh, I was living so gaivadik for so long. I thought I was just like normal. I was so not in tune with my place in the world. Total lack of makiris makomo. Uve'emes ha'gavos nidmet lahar gavoh. That gaiva is like the big mountain, he says. Ve'ilu haya adam margish ve'eis shalibo miskadla bekirbo. So if we would recognize, as we became bale gaiva, v'vade haya mavchinze. She'yesh lo gadlus ve'gavos v'hu al lahar. Aval ha'adam no lar alzeh ha'har. But he says, but it's built into man, and this is maybe part, again, of the answer to Donnie's question, like, so where do we get our drive from, and how does this come to be? The answer is we're all born on top of the mountain. As a human being, you have a netiyah to be in love with yourself and to think you're the greatest. And there's something good about that. There is something good about that. But there's also something really, really dangerous about that, because you can live mamish a life of demyonos, thinking that you're, like, doing great and you're doing fine and you're... And it's just because you were born as a human being, in a certain sense, yes, a human being is the height of creation. You are better than the animals. You are better than the flower. Right? But in a certain sense, you're really not. In a certain sense, you're really not. In the famous Maisa, there's two similar Maisas, where someone plucked a leaf off a tree. Right? One's with Rav Kook, and one's with the Rebbe Rashab. So in the Rebbe Rashab, when the Rebbe Rashab was walking one time with Rebbe Rayatz, Rebbe Rayatz was the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Friedrich Rebbe, for Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson. So he was walking with the fifth Rebbe, the Rebbe Rashab, and he plucked a leaf off a tree. I just saw a very interesting nusach of this story in the Sefer. I had never seen it this way before. So Lubavitcher Rebbe told the story like this. He said he plucked a leaf off the tree, and the Rebbe Rashab said to him, "What makes you think that your ani is greater than that leaf's ani?" What makes you think you're better than a leaf? What do you mean? I am better than a leaf. What makes you think your eye is bigger than the other person's eye? Another human being. Or even an inanimate object. Or a flower. What makes you think your Anochi is bigger than... When Hashem said Anochi Hashem Elokecha, He said Anochi to the whole world. He stamped everyone with I, sense of I. What makes you think your eye is bigger than someone else's eye? There's a great Maisa. The Baal Tanya once came to the Magid of Mezrich. So he knocks on the door, and the Magid says, "Who is it?" So he says, "Ich, it's I. It's I." Right? Recognize my voice. It's your Talmud. So he says, "Who?" He says, "Ich, ich. It's I. It's I." He says, "Who? Who is it?" "Ich, ich. I. It's me." He says, who is it? He says, Shir Zalman. Oh, Shir Zalman. He opens the door. So he says, "I'm so happy you came. I have a very important mission for you. There's a Sudas, Brismila, or Pidyon Aben, a town over from here. I can't go. I want you to be my shliach. I want you to go be by the Sudas." Okay. So he goes on behalf of his Rebbe to represent his Rebbe. He's by the Sudas. He gets there. He doesn't know anyone there. It's like very out of place. But he's sitting there. Okay. He's there on behalf of the Magid. All of a sudden, at the end of the Sudas, one of the waiters comes out, from like the side room, and says, the caterer wants to know who stole some of the silverware. The caterer is counting up the forks. There's a couple of pieces missing. Someone here's a thief. I was looking around the room, and I see Schneer Zalman saying, "No one knows who this guy is." Schnorr showed up to get a bagel and lox at the. "Who is this guy?" So they said to say, "This guy must be the Ganov." So he says, "Ich bin nicht der Ganov. I'm not a Ganov. Chas v'shalom." He said, "No, check him, shake him down, grab him." He's so insulted, he's so offended. And he keeps saying, Ich bin nicht der Ganov, not a Ganov, what are you talking about? And the mamash is like about to shake him, he's so embarrassed. And all of a sudden the waiter comes out, "Oh, sorry, it's a terrible mistake, we actually have all the pieces." They put him down. He's so embarrassed. He goes back to the Magid, and he comes to the Magid. He says, "No, how'd it go?" So he says, "Rebbe, Rebbe's Baal Ruach HaKodesh. Rebbe knew how it went." So he says, "I don't understand what happened." So he said, "Remember when you came to my door? You came to my door, and I said, 'Who is it?' And you said, 'Ich.' You kept saying, 'I.' So I wanted to teach you that for every time a Jew says I, ich, he has to say ich bin nicht, I am not. Every time a person says ich, he has to say ich bin nicht. That's what the Yosha Devar Emes is saying here. You can't, you're born on a mountaintop. You're so unaware. There's so much a Jew has to do to be an Eved Hashem. And for a person to go around not realizing that he's a Baal Gaiva is a very scary thing. Okay? Let's jump to Oz Gimel, but your comment.
And there's a story that Rebbe told us that someone once wrote a letter to the Baal Rebbe.
Right.
Like, and they remember the note, or just circled, like,
he just circled all that.
Times, like,
right. Every time he started the sentence, I. Right. It's not about I. It's really not about I. That's how when a chassid came to the Baal Tanya, I guess he had learned his lesson from that story. When a chassid saw Tanya one time, he's complaining, he said, I don't know my tachlis, I don't know my tafkid, I don't know. So the Baal Tanya said, you're asking the question all wrong. Your whole life is about, like, what do you, you're asking, like, what do I need? What's right for me? What do I need? What's my ayavoda? So he said, you're asking the question all wrong. It's not how a Jew figures out his purpose in this world. The question is not, what do I need? The question is, what am I needed for? Right? What do I need? What am I needed for? I don't know the phrase. It was a phrase in Yiddish, in words. And they say those 11 words, the way the Hasidim tell it, they said those 11 words when the Baal Tanya said, what am I needed for? Meaning make your whole avod about giving to Klal Yisrael, not how do I establish myself as unique, you know, amongst my people. They say that he said it in such a fiery way, that the lashon that the Hasidim use and the way it's brought in Sfarim. The Rabbi Rayatz has it in his Lukutei Diburim, in his Zichronos, in his recollections. He says he said it in such a fiery way that it lit the chassid's toenails on fire. I don't think his toenails literally burst into flames, right? But from head to toe, he was shaken by that. Because he realized in that moment, he descended from the mountain. He said, you're right, my whole life is about me. It's not about Hashem, it's not about Klal Yisrael, it's not about the team. I've become so self-absorbed. Right? It's not what you're needed. It's not what I need. It's what are you needed for? How do you be a role player on the team? You know, six man, a guy off the bench. You know, it's a chashuv thing. It's not as much kavod, but it's a critical player to make, you know, to make the team lahavdil, win the championship. Okay, let's go to Oz Gimel. Now he defines. So he finishes that mashal of the mountain. Aval Hashem Yisbarach Nasan Lanu Eitz Haguna. Hashem has given us good advice. To save us from this terrible trick of the Yitzhar. Who's the first Baal Gaiva ever? The Nachash in Gan Eden. The Nachash who like so casually said, like, even though God said don't eat from the tree, but like, come on. Like, what difference does it make? It's just God. It's not such a big deal, Chab. Gaiva. And that's why the Nachash was pressed down, lost its feet. It would no longer walk erect, like man, right? But it would crawl on its stomach. Asher lenetzach yovedu, v'heima yovedu, v'anachtu b'nei Yisrael namud. But in the end, the nachash, the sitra achra, the satan, whatever you want to call it, the Yitzhar, will be defeated, and we, Klal Yisrael, will stand. So what's the Eitzah? How do we do it? And the answer is to learn Torah in the right way. He quotes two lines later, a Zohar. The Zohar says in Parshas Mitzora, Torah nikra al shem, De'orei v'golei ma'di'iyu da'havei sasi. What does the word Torah mean in the third line on the top of the next page? The Zohar says, Torah, what is Torah? How would you translate Torah?
To teach,
Torah's teachings. Nikra al-shem de'orei, look how the Zohar translates Torah. Torah is orei v'golei ma'di'iyu, or ma'da'havei sasi. What does it do? It illuminates and it reveals that which is concealed. Torah helps us to it's a light. Kiner mitzvah Torah or. Torah shows us the truth. So if I'm living in the dark, totally unaware, the Torah, so to speak, turns on the light and allows me to see what's really going on. It reveals that which is concealed. What does that mean? Look what he writes. The very important lines. Ki Hashem Yisbarach Ne'alam V'nigla. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the one hand, is concealed, and yet Hashem is also at the same time revealed. What does that mean? Well, you know, I think we all a little bit get what that means. On the one hand, we've never seen God, we've never really heard from God, but every one of us has had encounters with Hashem. We've all felt Hashem, we've all communicated with Hashem. So on the one hand, Hashem is so real to us. On the other hand, Hashem is so hard to really know who is Hashem, what is Hashem. We don't understand it at all. Ne'la me'ein kol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the one hand, is entirely concealed from our eyes. We've never seen God in the way that we see each other with our physical eyes. And yet, where is Hashem revealed? Where is it so obvious that Hashem is? Where is that emunah strongest? V'nigla bilavav, there's a beautiful line, I should underline this. He's ne'la me'ein kol, he's hidden from our eyes, but he's nigla bilavavos hachafetzim v'ashoktim tamid v'darshim tamid v'machshavtam v'libam lidav kabal. But Hashem is revealed in hearts that long and desire constantly, hoping, clinging, wanting, meditating upon it, filling their hearts with a desire to attach oneself to Him. Libi omerli, like Rashi writes in one place in Chumash. My heart just tells me this is true. I can't prove it to you, and I don't really want to debate you, because it's a waste of both of our times. You're not going to convince me otherwise. You can ask me all the questions in the world. I've met Hashem. I've had encounters with Hashem. I know it to be true. That doesn't mean I never do a veros. That doesn't mean that I... Right? I'm not speaking for me. I'm saying any of us. Right? We've all met Hashem. We've all encountered Hashem. We've all been there. Libi omerli. Whether it was, I don't know, a unique Shabbos experience that you had, diving on a rooftop overlooking the Kotel. Maybe it was a Yom Kippur. Maybe it was being by the kever of a tzaddik or meeting a great Talmud Chacham or a tzaddik. But Libya, there's times where a Jew has an encounter where it just becomes absolutely clear to him and his heart is always ready to, right? My body blocks out Hashem. Hashem is hidden from my body. My heart always wants Hashem. Be'emtzos torasu mitzvosav. And the more I connect to Torah and mitzvos, the more obvious it becomes. Val yedeza Hashem yisbarach shu nelam b'torasu hu shemo Misgala belibos amo. And through Torah and mitzvos, a Jew is able to connect himself to reveal Hashem in his heart. The Torah, which is Hashem's name, he says. That's what the Ramban writes at the beginning of his introduction to Chumash. Ramban says the Torah from beginning to end is really just, it's one long name of God. Maybe not one long, maybe names of God, but it's the Torah from beginning to end is just names of God. It's all an encounter with Hashem. V'halev margish ahavaso v'yiraso b'yoser. V'zeh nikra Torah l'shma. Now look what he says here. A lot of different definitions of what Torah l'shma is. Says the Yosher Divrei Emes, look what he says here. What is Torah l'shma? What is Torah? What is the concept of Torah l'shma? Torah l'shma, for its sake, for its name, what does that mean? Learning Torah for pure reasons? Not doing it for honor? How would we translate Torah l'shma? He says, Torah lishma ratzalomar kishma Torah. Torah like its name. Think about what the word Torah means. We just learned what the word Torah means. The Zohar says Torah means what? Torah illuminates and reveals that which is concealed. So Torah lishma is what? Is a Torah that is constantly what? Revealing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to you. Which means if you're learning a ton of Torah and not deepening your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not Torah Lishma. That's not Torah Lishma. That's Torah of the arms and Torah of the body. It's not the Torah of the heart. It's not the essence of Torah. Kishma Torah, Ratzalomar, Shetoreh Visar'eh Lehem Hanela. That it reveals, it teaches, it illuminates that which is concealed. That's what Torah Lishma is about. Torah Lishma, Torah like its name, to reveal the hidden dimensions. Okay? And he goes on in the next paragraph. We're going to be done in 3 more minutes. He goes on in the next paragraph. Let's just end. We'll read this last paragraph inside, and then I want to just share one thing from the Maharal. Okay, so let's just finish Os Gimel. That's right. That's correct. Ukumo shamati mi pi harav achasid morenu harav Gershon Lutzker, Talmid Haloki Rav Dov Ber. So he says, I heard from Rav Gershon Lutzker, a Talmud of the Magid of Mezrich, in the name of his Rebbe, the following idea. Amayim Rechazal, the Gemara says, Ra Kadosh Baruch Hu haor she'eno kedai lishtamish bo. When God created the world, everything was revealed. It was very open. Hashem's presence was very open. Think about it. Adam and Chav are having straight up conversations with God. Hashem says, Adam, Ayeka, where are you? Oh, God, I didn't know you were, you know. Hey, God, you found me. Hey, thanks for the fig leaves, you know. They were talking, it was very straight, it was very open. Now, unfortunately, as we made mistakes, as Adam, Chava, and humanity made mistakes, that light had to be concealed, okay? So the Gemara says, the original light, Hashem realized it's not for everyone. Uginoza letzadikim lasid lavo, and Hashem hid it away for the tzadikim in the future. V'hiksha heichan gnozo. So the tzadikim ask, no, where is it? Where did Hashem hide it? Where is the light? How do we tap into it? Can we tap into that light? Or is it just like waiting for Mashiach to come? V'ani akatzer dvar v'kush Yosef. So I'll tell you, he says, just a synopsis here of what I heard from Rav Gershon Lotzker, Talmud of the Maggid. V'tochin dvar, the essence of his words are the following. She'amr peirish divrei avosinu zal, she'atorah hi or gadol. What Chazal are telling us is the Torah, in its purest form, in its most revealed form, is nothing but a brilliant illumination. An unbelievable light. How is God himself referred to in the deeper form? As what? As an or ein sof. Hashem is not light. But light is a mashal, an endless light. God is called an endless light. Light's a very... The reason Hashem is called light, the Ramchal explains, in one of his svarim, the Klach Pischei Chachma, Ramchal says, the reason God is compared to light, because think about light. Light's a very amazing thing. This room right now is filled with light. It's very real to us. If the light wasn't present, we wouldn't be able to read the pages in front of us. And yet, I can't really, like, grasp it. I can't touch it. I can't really see the light. I'm in the light. Okay, so that's a good mashal for Hashem. Hashem is an or ein sof. Bnei Yisachar says that the gematria of or, what's gematria of or? 207 is the same as the gematria as ein sof. Or is gematria ein sof. Right? Because there's something endlessly expansive about light. If not for these walls, light seems to just. Right? Or is 207, is the same gematria as ein sof. Endless. Ein Sof means without limitations. So the original light was a light that was an endless light. And then where was it hidden? In the Torah, which at its essence is an endless light, because the Torah is our connection to Hashem. So just like God is limitless and endless, so too the light of Torah is, so to speak, limitless and endless. So where was the light concealed? It was hidden in the Torah itself. Umitchila haya or nigla. Originally the light was revealed. V'achar kach genozo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then Hashem hid away the light. But where did he hide it? He hid it in a place where tzaddik emes could find it. V'heichan genazo b'torah genazo v'alimo. Hashem hid it in the Torah. So you have some people who take Torah in their hands and they learn it, and it just doesn't bring out that light. But when the true tzaddikim, with the proper humility, study Torah, he says that tzaddikim hacharedim l'dvar v'darshe Hashem v'chokim v'sokim atmonim. The true tzaddikim know how to extract that light from within the Torah, how to find that buried treasure, so to speak. That's what it means. Gnozo letzadikim lasid lavo. He says in the last two lines, "Vatzalomar she'asid lavo letzadikim ha'or al yedei drishasam es Hashem yizbarach ha'yedei Torah." There will be some tzadikim who just have the outer shell of Torah, but there will be some tzadikim in the future, and he's talking about the future now, right now, in the days before the coming of Mashiach. There will be tzadikim who put Hashem back into every letter and every word of Gemara. And Shor Shenagal Chesapar is not just about an ox that runs into a cow. It's about a Jew who runs into Hashem. It's about an encounter with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. All right, how do you extract that? Okay, you need deep eyes to see such a thing. I'll just end with one point from the Maharal. In his Akadama to the Tiferes Yisrael, I'm not going to read it inside, there's just no time. I feel bad that Rubenstein's giving shir in 1 minute. But he says that the bracha that we make, and you'll think about it hopefully for the rest of your life when you say Biracha HaTorah, right? We emphasize that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is what? Is the Nosein HaTorah. We don't just focus on the fact that God gave us the Torah, but we focus on the one who gave us the Torah. And the Maharal in his Tiferes Yisrael, which is all about Kabbalah's Torah, the Maharal says, you know when things go wrong with Torah? It's when we try to take the Torah without God. If you try to take the Torah without God, if you don't take the Nosein, the giver with the Torah, you're in big trouble. It's poison. But if you take the Torah with the Nosein HaTorah, with the giver of the Torah, it's beautiful. Maybe we'll look at it inside next time. Then a person comes to the light of Torah, the inner world of Torah. So halavai, we should be the humble type of Jews for Yotim Akabal Torah from the Tzaddik Yemes. Shri Zohar. Okay, to be continued, Ritz Hashem. Okay, Shkaya Cheva. I'm happy to hold on to the sheets for you if you want.